Well met, adventurers, and welcome to Mage Productions. Today we're joined with
Kyle,
Logan,
and Brad.
Sweet.
And we are, I'm Lee, by the way.
Hi, Lee.
Yeah, that's fine. Today we're talking about the Blood War in Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes. Does anyone know anything about the Blood War?
No.
Logan doesn't.
That is the war between the demons and the devils that holds them both kind of locked in eternal battle, and so they don't, like, rampage over the other
realms
of existence.
Yeah.
That's about the extent of what I know as well.
That was pretty much the extent of what I knew also. Before reading this chapter, now, like, it goes into some crazy details that I didn't even know, and it makes it so much more interesting. But yeah, it's about the battle between the Abyss and the Nine Hells, between demons and devils. So the main area of this fight is kind of along the River Styx, which is how you get from the Abyss to the Hells.
So does that separate the boundaries? Is that like the physical barrier?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't know if it's more or less a physical barrier. I don't know if that's quite the right word for
okay.
it. But yes, it is the pathway from one plane to the other.
Hmm. Are demons in the Abyss and the Nine Devils? Nine Hells with the Devils?
Right. Nine Hells are the Devils. The Abyss are the demons.
Is this like a river bank where they like stand on the edge and stare across each other, or is it like a river you traverse to get to the next place?
Both. Okay. It is along the river banks. It is on the river. It is within hell itself. It is this huge, giant scale battle between the two of them. And kind of like you were saying, Kyle, this has been going on so long that they know each other's tactics so well that it's just at a deadlock. So it goes into how one can cross the River Styx, kind of talking to the, what are they called? Yugoloth ferrymen.
Okay.
They are neutral and they can be bribed, but they don't deal in like coal, gold and silver and gems and stuff.
They deal in souls.
They deal in very particular things. Mm.
So Yugoloths here, the ferrymen, are they evil or are they just kind of
neutral?
So they're okay.
I don't know of true neutral, but whoever is willing to pay them, they are willing to ferry them.
And the River Styx, that's the way to get into the Abyss and the Hells, right?
Right.
So that goes from like the Underdark and flows through, I believe. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet stuff. It also goes into why the two sides are fighting. The devils essentially are fighting out of pride. They feel that they are the rightful overseers of the multiverse, and they fight in this blood war to keep the demons from sweeping across the multiverse and destroying everything. Which is a very interesting point of view from their perspective, is they're essentially just trying to occupy them. I don't know. That seems...
So they see themselves as the guardians of the other things almost. Seems like a prideful thing a devil would think.
Yeah, it's definitely out of pride. And the demons are pretty much fighting to occupy the devils in this neutral space because they know if they were to fight the devils anywhere else, that the devils would be able to kind of get back up and get other forces on their side to quickly defeat all of the demons. Then we go into each side. So starting out with Hell, it talks about Asmodeus and his goal to rule the multiverse. He believes that under his rule, the universe would take on a pristine and perfect state of existence where every living creature would be assigned to its rightful place. Pretty much.
Perfect order.
Right. Yeah. He thinks he can accomplish that. He knows he can accomplish that, rather. Mm-hmm. It also talks about his testimony before Primus, I don't know if you guys know about that, where the angels pretty much charged him for terrible crimes, quote unquote. It doesn't go into what they were, but they had to go in front of Primus because they are the true neutral and they don't care about Celestia. They don't care about the Hells. They are their own kind of space. And everything went crazy. And one angel in particular, her name is Zariel, just got like livid about the whole situation because Asmodeus is really good about talking his way out of things and kind of being like, you know, we do this because of these reasons, like validating and people being like, oh, okay, you make sense. And she just got so mad. She flipped out and there was this giant battle and she pretty much lost her wings and was cast out of Celestia. And Asmodeus is like, you want a job? And now she is the ruler of the first layer of hell.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She is pretty cool.
What's her name?
Zariel.
It's the ruler of the first layer of hell.
Yeah. So she...
Does it name all nine
it names
layers
of all,
rulers?
All of them. It goes into details about all of them. It goes into cults for all of them. It goes into tiefling sub-races for all of them. So you can be specified to a certain layer of hell as a tiefling. And through that, depending on who you're connected to, you get different types of boons, I guess, really.
I want to read more on that. That sounds really cool.
It is super cool. It also kind of goes into the cults. So with each different cult of the layer of hell, they all have different goals. They all have different kind of signature spells and types of cultists. So it's interesting to be able to kind of put those into your game and flail them about the world.
Is there a cult of personality somewhere in there?
You're here all night, aren't you?
I am.
Really, the tiefling subclasses are what really got my juices going.
Well, you like tiefling.
So how many new subclasses are introduced here?
There's nine. There's one for each layer of hell.
Nice.
So kind of going off of Zariel, talking about her, the tiefling gets... Their charisma score is increased by 2, and their strength is increased by 1. And they get the Legacy of Avernus, which is the first layer of hell. Which you know, Thaumaturgy, cantrip. And then when you reach the third level, you can cast Smite.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting, kind of through those connections.
Yeah, and that's she and Zariel, what you said it was?
Yeah.
She almost seems like kind of paladin-like, so that makes sense. You get
she
that,
is.
Okay.
She is. And then it also goes to the opposite side in the Abyss and talking about them. Their invasion style is described very much like a virus, almost. Like it is chaos, and it is full disorder, and they take over and just spread. The way they describe it, it reminds me a lot of kind of the orcs in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay.
How, like, they're in Mordor.
Yeah.
And, like, everything around it is dead, and the dead is spreading, and wherever they go, like, it's just, death and destruction.
Does it go over how demons, like, replicate or reproduce?
It doesn't go into that.
Okay, because I'd be interested in finding out how that happens, especially if it is kind of like a virus. Wherever death and destruction goes, a demon's created. That'd be kind of cool. But...
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of goes into how the Abyss changes demons and how it kind of influences how they were to how they are to how they will be.
Nice.
Because the Abyss is pretty much chaos.
Yeah.
It's just insanity.
Does it detail the different types of demons by class and then get into the Tenari and the Yuckwolves and that sort of...
It does. It also talks about the different lords, like Baphomet and Demigorgon, and kind of gives more information about them. Again, they're cultists. There's also demonic boons, which makes me very excited as a DM, because these are skills that you can give to NPCs and monsters that are connected to these lords of the Abyss.
Cultists, anything that exists like that can have it.
Yeah, it could be a cultist. It could be just a singular random person. It could be some creature that has made a bond with them.
Oh, so warlock. So it could be warlock,
right? Yeah.
Well, it's not for players. It's only for. Uh-huh. It's only on the DM side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
So it sounds like they're powerful.
Are there any subclasses in the demon side, like the tieflings got on the devil side?
Not for players, no. It goes into demonic cambions, and then gives you a bunch of tables for customizing demons and things like that.
Sounds like they're really powerful. Don't mind players having them.
Well, okay. I think because it's so chaotic and the nature of it is so unknown that there just hasn't been that documentation yet of how these lords of the abyss kind of influence different races and cause them to morph to their will, if you would.
So as a dungeon master, this gives you new ideas to use demons and devils?
I have so many ideas to use both.
Use both.
Nice.
Yes. It's so cool. There's so many things.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really cool because I really like demons and devils and playing them or instituting them in a game. And any more options you can get to classify that and go through specifics, that sounds really juicy. Don't want to tear through and get that, yeah.
It really is. It really is. These spoons are great.
Let's go back to the battle. How did it start?
Nobody really knows. So it's just always kind of existed. And no one's really, you know, gone on an interview and been like, hey, Asmodeus, tell me, how did this start? Mm. And if they have, they probably hadn't been heard from again.
Soma sounds like a primordial force from order and chaos. It's always been that way.
Pretty much.
Working through the demons and the devils.
Even. Right. Okay. Well, because the demons are 100% chaos, where the devils are 100% law. Mm-hmm. Like, they are very strict by their law and how that influences them and how they get through that.
So I just picture this war going on in these planes that's just constant death and just... You would have to have this reproduction or creation engine to keep feeding this death machine of constant battle.
Pretty much.
Or is it a standstill and they just like stare at each other? Like, I dare you to cross this line.
They are
which one is it?
They're constantly fighting. And, okay. And it kind of goes into details about how the devils work through that and how once they get to, say, like a certain threshold of injured... They fall back because one is right behind them to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just that quick and switching out these things. And devils can't die in hell.
They can't.
Right.
Okay.
So.
Because traditionally speaking, that's how you defeat an evil entity is you have to kill it in its home plane, no?
They're reduced down.
Okay.
Right.
So interesting. Regenerate, sort of? Or
kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense on...
So it's like an incarnation of that evil that's there. It's interesting.
And
okay.
Both forces are also on external planes, like the material plane, constantly handing out flyers and recruiting kind of thing. They're always getting more people in, and people are always like, I will join the cause.
Yeah, all the cool kids are doing it. Yeah.
All the cool kids.
Don't do that, Logan.
I mean... Yeah, no.
So the war's never ended and it will keep going on forever as far as we know?
Pretty much. I mean, they've come to lock heads because their forces are standing on equal ground and knowledge of each other because they've been going on for so long that no one can really gain the advantage.
So let's assume hypothetically we've got an epic adventure here and our heroes are on a quest to... remove Asmodeus.
Theoretically.
And you get there and for some crazy lucky rolls, you pull it off. Next one steps in line, then there's a new ruler of hell just as powerful. Like, they're not gonna miss a beat. There's no way to stop this.
There's no way. Unless, because, like, you've got the nine layers, and each layer is trying to take over the next layer from within. Almost like the drow mentality of you are as strong as what you've conquered. So Yeah, they are primed and ready.
Think that the nine hells and being order based, law based, if I, you know, cut the head of the snake, so to speak, that could be one that may create some chaos through it because there's no top down ruler. But I don't know that it's the same.
I think because their laws are so tight and there's so many people that are so aware of everything that's going on, is that someone would be ready to step up within seconds or
contingency
minutes.
Plan.
Right, exactly. They're just waiting for Asmodeus to weaken just to step up. And then, sure, can you take off, like, Beelzebub right after Asmodeus?
Mephistopheles,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Glacia's right there.
Right.
Like, she's just watching, but as soon as there is any falter.
And on the other side of it, is there a leader at all? Do the demons have an Asmodeus type of leader on their side of the
they
equation?
They don't.
There's no order at all.
They have the lords, right. Like, so they have Demigorgon, they have
Orcus.
They Zinago. Have all of those guys, yeah. Right. But the Abyss is so chaotic and unknown that there's really no structure to the madness. It's the madness works for it because so it just is
these
mad.
Lords just grab a horde and go.
Pretty much.
Or subvert little
right.
demons to make it horde, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think is why they combat the devils so well, because the devils are so structured that they just can't fathom the chaos that is the demons.
So what if someone like sent an army of like the strongest monsters like to mess up both sides?
I think that would really tilt the scales one way or the other, because it would throw off that groove. It would throw off that consistency that has been there for so long that it's almost normal, that you throw a rock at a placid lake, there's going to be ripples. Like, something is going to happen. There will be a cause and effect.
Or maybe that would be the one thing that kind of temporarily stops them from fighting to align against this force. And then they'll go right back to it.
Well, I don't know if these two would align with each other ever.
Well, maybe like ceasefire-ish or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, it's pretty intense.
The balance aspect of it is very cool.
So demons can die in the Abyss and they don't regenerate?
It's a good question.
It is. And that is somewhere, and I marked it, and I don't remember where. But
we'll get back to it.
Yeah, totally. They can die, but again, they regenerate. Yes, the information is in here, and you can read it if you want to know. I won't tell you everything.
That's fair.
Because I can't find it. Any other comments about this? Or so, well, okay, I know what interests me from a DM's perspective of going to a place like this, witnessing this, having these cults from one side or the other kind of interacting within our world and our plane. But from a player's point of view, like, what would you use? What is an interesting bit from that?
Well, isn't it like, I believe neither the demons nor the devils can leave their planes without outside help. I believe that's the case. That's why they need the cults.
Oh, they can leave.
Can
as long as they have the means to leave, they can leave.
But they don't have. But can they get the means themselves? Can they themselves generate? Really? Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I thought they had to get outside help, whether that's from the material plane or a god or something like that, to be released. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that I really like that. And then it's, you know, if your party wants to venture into the deepest, darkest pits of hell, then it gives you that strata from which to go to and launch things off. That's nice. I really want to learn more about all the layers now.
It goes into all of them. It is super neat.
Yeah, I'd definitely play off some of the subclasses on the tieflings.
Yeah,
that sounds really neat.
I like super the tiefling playable. Race anyway, so kind of throwing this in there.
A lot more flexibility.
Right. And a lot more honing in on exactly how you want to play and being able to gain those skills. Pretty sweet.
And then if you're RPing something, I like how all the different aspects kind of give you that little bit of flavor that you can add onto your characters. Yeah. Whether it's appearance or actions or special things.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So there's like nine devil rulers. Is there like one that rules over them all, or are they all at the same level?
So they're all ruled under Asmodeus. He is big boss man. And then one of the layers has two. So yeah, the fourth layer, Thelgathos, has two, which is Belial and Firna.
Okay.
Who you guys met last campaign.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. And are they like siblings? Are they related to each other, I believe, some way? No? Okay. Interesting.
No. Yeah. And as I understood it, they're in a constant fight to kind of rid the other one from the lair so they can be the only ruler.
So even within...
Not directly, but... Yeah. Indirectly.
Even within the striving for power in place, there's several battles and structures going on there to uphold it.
Oh, exactly. And, I mean, if you're on, like, Glacia on the sixth layer of hell is constantly trying to get to the seventh layer.
Mm.
Like, that is a step above her current rank, so she wants to be there.
So I'm curious how Asmodeus keeps everything in check then, with everyone always trying to... take his place.
It's all laws, man. They all follow these laws and regulations.
Mm. Are all of the rulers of the planes at the same level of rulership, or is there like a different rulership for some planes?
I mean, is there like the same hierarchy for everything?
You mean like is level one lower than level two, level three?
Yeah, or are they all at the same level plus then there's...
Yeah, the level one is pretty much the starter level, if you will. It is the weakest of them. It is the lowest on the totem pole, where all the way down to Asmodeus, level 9, is the top layer, or I guess in this case, the bottom layer.
Like an inverted pyramid.
Yeah, inverted pyramid, very much so.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. I love it.
Art looks cool from here.
Yeah, definitely.
The art is insane, and some of the lords are in the monster part. You get stats for them.
Nice. Okay.
How cool is that?
Devil Lord Monster Blocks.
Yeah. And all the Lords of the Abyss
are in there.
Yeah.
Can you play, like, a devil or demon as a character?
You could play a tiefling. It has some information about cambions as well. But not on a player race sort of deal. So tiefling is as close as you can get at this point.
Like, and cambions are...
of a devil.
Cambions are... a few ranks above a tiefling.
Okay.
Where a tiefling is sort of born of human descent, cambion is not.
Pure evil spawn. Hell spawn, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
So no person could play, like, a demon of any type as a character? It can only be a monster?
Correct.
Although that sounds very interesting.
It does, and I'm sure you could work out something with your DM about that, but...
I'm sure they'll show up as NPCs and monsters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Cool. Well, that's all we got.
Awesome.
So are we going to end awkwardly again?
I think that's the only way we know how to end.
It is.
I'm going to be in strife with you guys. I hate awkwardness. I'm kidding.
Do you, though?
What? Kind of.
Okay.
What? I like being smooth about it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
I like it.
That's a good way to do it, right? Okay.
And stay tuned for more.
Yes. Much, much more. Bye.